This is the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio. This is the live PD special, talking to Sergeant Sean Stix-Larkin and Tom Morris Jr. about live PD and policing in America. Let's go to Jeff from California. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
How do you decide what departments you're going to cover? And it seems like there's turnover in the departments you cover. And then each night, how do you decide which calls you're going to show us on the air?
So the departments are a mix of factors. First of all, we try and get a diversity both geographically and in terms of the types of departments that we have. And that ends up with a different mix. You're right. A lot of the time you'll see some consistency. Yeah, we'll try and swap out. You know, look, it's some work having our camera crews there. Departments want a break sometimes. And so we'll go from one department, go back to another. You'll probably see sometimes there'll be a department that won't be on for a few weeks, then we'll go back. So that's just the regular process that exists there. In terms of what we show, look, it depends on what's happening. There are times when we'll be looking at a city and there will be two police officers sitting in police cars. And that's what police officers do. And yet we're probably not going to go to just an officer sitting in a vehicle. But if an officer ends up pulling over a vehicle, even though that may not seem like the biggest deal in the world, that is policing. And so we may go to it. So it really just depends on what's happening, where it's happening. And look, and sometimes we don't know what the outcome's going to be, obviously. So we take a chance and go to it. And sometimes maybe it's not as interesting and we'll pull back and say maybe we should do something else.
And a lot of times we tend to follow the flashing blue lights, because when blue lights are, yeah, we see blue lights in Mission, Texas, and they're rolling hot and heavy and they're heading towards something fast, you know, master control, the directors and the executive producers will be like, let's go to Mission. Let's see what's going on there. He's on his way to an armed robbery call. And that's how we roll.
Let's go to Nathan in Colorado. Hey, Nathan.
Hi. I've actually seen every show of Live PD.
You're original. You're an OG.
Wow.
I am.
Very cool.
I wanted to know your thoughts on encrypting radio traffic. Many of the departments here in Colorado have gone to encrypting all of their channels so no one can hear them, like on police scanners.
You know, I'll speak of that. I mean, we've recently done that in Tulsa as well. You know, I'm obviously for it, being a law enforcement officer. I know people have an interest in, you know, just hearing the radio traffic. You know, for years and years, people have listened to it on scanners just because it's interesting. But for a officer safety standpoint, I definitely think it's something that is, you know, to be kept between the officers while they're at work. You know, now with that being said, everything we talk about, it is recorded. You know, it can be subpoenaed for court and things like that. It's not something that's hidden from the public. It's just not out there publicly at that time, basically.
All right. So I want to ask Tom, because those of you who are live PD watchers know that our attire sometimes becomes a topic of the show. My sweaters, Stix wears his muscle Tulsa polo shirts. Make sure that he wears them nice and tight.
Do a lot of curls right before we go on air.
Do a lot of curls, right?
Push-ups,
right,
to make
sure. And then Tom is known for his camo and has actually started a clothing line in connection with that. Tom, tell us about it.
It is. The first time I wore a shirt on the show, they had some camo accent patterns on it. People literally went on the internet, put up images of shirts, and they found that one shirt and literally sold it out on the internet before the 3 hours of the show was over. I didn't even know who had made the shirt, and I had it on my back, but they found it. Live PD Nation tracked that shirt down. So eventually I got to thinking, why don't I come up with a shirt where I can kind of give them a little camo pattern that's designed, custom made by my nephew, the artist Earl Mack. And they just came out a couple of weeks ago. They're available on Bonfire on the website. And if you just Google Tom Morris Jr. Bonfire. It'll take you right to the shirt. I'm wearing one right here.
And it's excellent looking.
And beautiful. Look at the back, Dan. Hold on, you got to see the back.
Well, it's radio, so I get to look at it. But it says LPD on the back with a little camo.
There you go.
Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice. Let's go to Janet in New Jersey. Hey, Janet, how you doing? What do you got?
Hi there. How are you guys?
Wonderful, great. Janet.
Well, I've got a question. I've been watching since day one, and I've never heard anything about this. Do you ever talk to the wives, moms, dads, children of the officers, and are they anxious while they watch the show? I mean, there's situations that they get into where I'm, you know, biting my lips and hoping that they're going to be okay. What's the reaction from their family from watching them working live?
Well, we do get to talk to some of the family members when they come to New York. If we bring an officer to New York to the studio, most of the time they'll bring their wife or significant other or their children. So we do get to meet them from time to time. And sometimes we may be out in sticks. You've been out to Greene County, I think, and you've met officers out there where they live. So, yeah, sometimes we do get to interact with them. And they're all really proud that their loved one is on the show and that the world is getting to see their loved one actually do their job.
But Styx, do you think it's fair to say that, because I think a lot of people who are not in law enforcement, right, who are watching the show, will watch moment by moment, concerned, right, about the safety,
right,
of the officers. And look, we're all always concerned about the safety of the officers. But does a family member of a officer in a potentially dangerous unit, for example, come to kind of live with it?
Yeah, and you hit it right on the head. You know, I was married. I'm divorced now. But, you know, my wife, she never came and rode with me. You know, she did not want to see what my job was. She did not want to be out there, be a part of it, because she knew it would make her a nervous wreck to be out there. Probably even just the fast driving would probably get to her. But, you know, it is something, you know, that they just kind of you know, just accept, hey, this is what my spouse does for a living. Just like both of my kids, people have asked them, you know, what's it like having your dad as a cop and this and that? Well, their entire lives since they were born, I've been a police officer. So they know nothing different. To them, it's just normal. Now, not to say, obviously, they don't worry about it when something, you know, happens at work. You know, I've been involved in a couple police shootings and things like that. And it's just one of those deals because it hits the media right away. And the way social media works these days and phone calls, you want to be the person that calls to let them know, hey, this is what happened. I'm okay. You know, those type of things, whether it's a car accident, you know, an officer's involved in a car accident, that word starts to spread around quickly, things like that. You just have to reassure them that, hey, I'm trained well. I work around, you know, officers that know their job. We make sure each of us go home at night.
We're talking Live PD and the Live PD Nation. Mike from Massachusetts joins us. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great,
thanks, Mike, for taking my call. First, I want to say thanks to Tom and Styx for their dedication to law enforcement, but also you guys give a very good insight into what's happening with the officers during their episode.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you.
But Dan, I have to say that your play on words is awesome. Keep it up.
I try.
He's good.
It always lightens it up just a little bit. So
you know,
because everybody always has their favorite department to follow. For us, obviously, for Massachusetts, Warwick is a big one, but we also like Richland. And I was wondering when Slidell was possibly coming back. We heard that was coming in season 3.
You know, I don't know exact dates. You know, this is the sort of thing that always remains a little bit fluid, because you know, this isn't a reality show, right? It's reality. It's life, and so discussions end up being ongoing. Things can change. That's why we never like to sort of offer firm dates. Well, these guys are coming back on this date. Or these guys, you know, because these are real police departments dealing with a variety of issues, and we are not their central focus, rightly so. So it's a way of punting on your question, but it's the honest answer, which is we just don't know, because these are ongoing discussions. But if we said that it's coming back, and I didn't remember, do we remember? Is it? I didn't remember the announcement about
season. Slidell.
Yeah,
I had not heard.
I don't know. So, but thank you for the call. We appreciate your kind words, and thank you for watching the show. Let's go to Peyton from Ohio. Hey, Peyton, thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Great, Peyton.
An absolute pleasure to talk to you guys. I got to watch the first episode of the very first season, and you guys have absolutely killed it.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
I'm really interested. I'm not 21 yet, but I live in Ohio, and I really want to get into policing. And obviously, the show has done a great job at taking us on ride-alongs, which I have done. What do you guys suggest I do next?
You know, I actually, I get asked that question quite a bit, typically through social media. I have kids in college or high school, you know, reach out to me and say, hey, I'm thinking about going to law enforcement. What advice do you have? And I give the same answer to everybody. I suggest trying to go work for a larger police department. I know I'm not saying something, you know, the size of New York City or anything like that, but if you work for a larger agency, you afford yourself more opportunities and things to do throughout your career. Because you get burned out. You know, working patrol, you get burned out. You become a detective, you get burned out. And so if you work for a decent sized department, you can bounce around through every 3, 4, 5 years, try different things. You know, if you're interested in canine, if you're interested in cycles, you know, patrol and that sort of deal. Because if you're dealing with the same thing over and over again, it takes its toll on you. So that's the biggest thing I recommend. I also, you know, I recommend people to go to college first. You know, it helps with the promotion process through the department. You know, this job is not about brawn. It's not having the biggest arms that fill a uniform sleeve and trying to, you know, take control of a situation. So much of it is how you talk to people. And, you know, I think people, if you spend a little more time, go to school, get a little more education, it's just so much more beneficial to a career.
And you don't have to major in criminal justice.
No.
A degree in psychology can be very beneficial to you as a police officer or a federal law enforcement agent. It can be very beneficial. Forensic science, that's another major you can go into. So in addition to a lot of departments requiring at least 2 years of college now, many 4, you know, look at what you're going to major in, because there are a lot of criminal justice degrees out there, but there's a lot of other things that can help you.
Yeah, you know, and just to kind of go on a little bit more about that. In Tulsa, we required a 4-year degree since 1997. And we have got people who have law degrees that decided to become police officers. We have people that were formerly teachers. You know, we have people that come straight out of college, you know, we have people that were accountants. So we've got a whole wide range of education, you know, different backgrounds and why they chose to go into law enforcement.
And you also do happen to have brawn as well.
It's small shirts.
Even though you're saying that it's not necessary.
Stay fit, your presence, be in good shape.
Your presence does prevent a lot of fights, I promise.
Yeah.
You know, a good command presence prevents a lot of fights.
All right, let's go to Kirk from Nova Scotia, Canada. Hey, Kirk, thanks for calling.
Hey, fellas, what's up?
How are you, man? Canada, we love you guys.
Yeah, we know you. The show is huge up there.
Yeah, we love you up here in Canada, too, for sure. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys. I watch the show every Friday. Every Saturday night when I can't be home to watch it, because I do have a wife that likes to go out once in a while.
Well, you need to take care of her.
I absolutely do. I record it and watch it during the week, so I appreciate it. You know, I've chose a different career path, but to this day, I always thought that maybe I would have made a great police officer and certainly get some insight by watching the show. I'm interested just how live is live PD. Does it operate on a delay? Must be tough when there's more than one thing going on at any given time, and I'm sure there's many, to choose what we go to. I heard you talk a little bit about that earlier, but I'm just wondering, does it operate on a delay or is it really live?
Yeah, so there is a small delay, and you can even see that on the air, meaning when we're live in a scene and personal information, for example, is disclosed, you'll hear it beeped out. And that's because, you know, this is real life. These are real people. So there has to be a delay when you're talking about police work. There are undercover officers sometimes who arrive at a scene. There's a child sometimes on a scene. These are all reasons that we need to have a delay. But the delay is, you know, it's a little bit longer than a news delay, meaning in news we have anywhere between a 7-second and 30-second delay. Here we need a little bit longer. We don't have a firm number of minutes it is. It really depends on where we are on the show. So that delay will vary depending on where we are on the show, from, you know, a few minutes to a few more minutes. It just depends. But there's definitely a delay there, and I can just tell you from everyone associated with the show, from the officers, even to the production side, et cetera, everyone appreciates having that there just to make sure that, you know, we don't put anything on the air that that shouldn't go out. So thank you for your call. Talking about Live PD with Sergeant Sean Sticks Larkin and Tom Morris Jr. Susan from Connecticut joins us. Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Hey there, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Good. Hey, I love you guys, and I love the show. And sometimes on Saturdays, that means a 12-hour shift.
we appreciate it.
So I had a question. Just that I live in the northeast corner of Connecticut, and I'm just a few minutes from the Massachusetts-Rhode Island border, so I really enjoy watching the Warwick Police Department. But is it just me, or do you notice that a lot of females that the Warwick Police Department deal with are pretty feisty?
They are. You've got some real firecrackers up there.
Well, they just seem more so than average in other parts of the country. It's kind of a hoot.
Well, it seems to me in Warwick, they do deal with a lot of situations of people drinking too much.
Yes.
At bars. I don't know. Right?
We've had repeat offenders, same person,
yeah.
A couple of weeks in a row, drunk at a bar,
right?
Encountering the Warwick Police Department.
You know, I'll tell you what, though, from a law enforcement perspective, you know, I'll take dealing with anybody intoxicated over some of the violence that goes on in some of the other cities.
Absolutely.
So if that's their problem, hey, kudos to the Warwick Police Department. You know, good for them.
Earl from Nebraska is on the line. Hey, Earl, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about social media and the fact that pretty much everybody in the U.S. and around the world has cameras in their pocket now. And, you know, anecdotally, I see a lot of videos on YouTube where police are upset that they're being filmed doing their job by some bystander. And they come up and tell them, hey, you can't film me, that's illegal, this sort of thing. When clearly it is legal to film anything in public for the most part. So my question is, how do you think police generally feel about it? And then secondly, is there a push for training for police officers on the street to inform them about hey, you're out there doing your job, yes, but anybody can pull out their camera and film you. It's perfectly legal, so here's how you adapt or train them in how to handle that kind of thing.
So let me take the first part of the question, which is related to almost the media side of this, which is I don't know how often it's actually happening. Meaning the point is every time it does happen, people put it on YouTube, right? So someone goes and tries to film a police officer and an officer foolishly says, you're not allowed to do that. I've seen it happen a handful of times. And the officer was wrong, right? And the officer probably gets disciplined in some way, shape, or form for saying that. But I don't think it's a sort of national problem. Sticks, I mean, I would think most officers around the country now know if you're on a public street, people probably going to be filming you. I mean, yes. We see it all the time on the show.
Correct. You know, a few years ago, I would say it actually happened more. Nowadays, I don't see it that much. You know,
you don't see what?
People out recording us as much.
Really?
You know, a couple years ago, it was a big deal. Everybody was doing it. And I'm aware that, yes, if you're out in public, anybody can be recorded. And, you know, kind of what I would just say to the people is, hey, man, you're wasting your data. You know, if you're trying to get YouTube famous off of something to do with me, you're wasting your time. You know, and just like I know my job. I know, you know, I know my policies. I know the procedures. I know, you know, the law I have to work within. And just, I mean, you're obviously more than welcome to sit there and record me. Just don't interfere with what we're doing.
Right. And that's the key, right?
And that's it.
That's the line there is.
Yeah.
And I think, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it sounds like Earl is suggesting that officers across the country aren't really familiar with the law in this regard. And I think, and I'll bet you talking about a few years ago, right when everyone started getting phone cameras.
Correct.
Was probably the time when there was more ambiguity. Right.
Exactly. And that's when it was. Once everything, you know, everybody had a camera, just as Earl mentioned, you know, everybody was getting recorded. And, you know, officers, I'm sure, different places, you know, just unfamiliar with what they were allowed to say or allowed to be recorded. But I, as I mentioned, as long as they're not interfering directly in what we're doing, they can record all day if they want.
Paula from Styx's home state of Oklahoma. Hey, Paula.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
Hey,
Paula, what part of Oklahoma are you from?
I'm in Lawton right now, but I'm from Duncan.
Okay, I got you.
So I have a couple of questions. One is, how is Flex doing? I miss seeing him.
As far as we know, Flex is fine. As far as we know, Flex is out there policing in Jeffersonville, as always.
Flex is a canine, for those of you who don't watch the show.
I think he has his own Twitter account, so you probably keep up with him on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, the lady with the snake in I think it's Florida, she cracks me up. But then also, I have another question. How are the different departments chosen for the show?
So, you know, we talked about this before. There's a mix. The goal is diversity geographically, diversity in terms of types of departments, and to try to show different kinds of policing. And, you know, look, we have to be able to get the agreement from the departments to do it. So number of factors go into it, and then we end up with the departments. We've gone from, it used to be we only did 6 at once. Now we do 8.
Yeah.
Judy from Illinois joins us. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks. I have a great appreciation for police officers now because my son was killed. We were hit by a semi and he was killed, and it's made me two things: appreciate the deputies more and more than I ever have, but also it makes me hate politics and law enforcement. So I was wondering if you could talk about either politics and law enforcement. Or if you could talk about on the show, could we see more of every once in a while what happens after the stop, like when you transport them to the jail or what happens when you go talk to a witness family, some of the more human aspects of policing.
First, let me just say that I'm so sorry to hear about what happened to you. That is horrible. And I can't imagine what that's like to have gone through that. In terms of the follow-ups, you know, we do try to follow up, particularly Tom's segments. We do try to make sure that we provide follow up.
Yes, we do follow up on the missing segments. And whenever possible, if there's a really important incident that happened, let's say near the end of a show and we went off the air and something was ongoing, then Dan will many times on the next show update and tell you what happened, what was the outcome of that particular incident. So, you know, we're a live show that's constantly moving forward in real time, so we can't go backwards a whole lot. But whenever we have a chance to update something that might have been of particular interest, we do it.
And sometimes it's even done on our own social media, either between, you know, the live PD from A&E, their social media, or any one of the three of us. You know, if we've gone off of the air and we get the resolution on something that left people essentially hanging just because we ran out of time, we try to update as well.
Dave from Nevada joins us. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks for calling.
Hey, just a question. I apologize. I've never seen your show. However, I'm going to be keenly interested in watching it now that I've heard about it. You mentioned earlier in the show about delay, and that's understandably so. Have you ever had an opportunity where you have decided that the situation was too touchy, I guess, to cover, and decided to go with a different live feed during that delay? Or
yeah, sure.
And the reason why I'm asking is because I read a piece last night in Vanity Fair about the cop that was involved in a black male shooting, and I mean, those kind of situations tend to get a lot of publicity, and I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing that you would want to steer away from.
Oh, no. We're not going to steer away from it because it's, you know, politically sensitive. We might steer away from it because we realize when we got to the scene, we're like, oh, let's go there. And then they get in there and we realize, oh, my goodness, there are just tons of kids here. I don't know how we're going to shoot this scene without showing the kids. And so we may say, you know what? Don't go to it. We're not going to that scene. We're not going to go there. So the answer to your question is yes, but not for the reasons that you're sort of suggesting there. Let's go to James in Missouri. Hey, James, how you doing?
How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
My quick question is, say I'm the guy that you got pulled over.
Yeah.
And you're doing whatever, frisking or whatever, and some other jughead is over there videotaping me, but I don't want them to videotape me. What can I do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're on a public street. So, you know, the only rights, you know, obviously we can't go into a home without permission from a homeowner. But when you're shooting on a public street, it's like news coverage. If it's on a public street, it's on a public street. So the, you know, the sorts of things that we won't show will be more along the lines of some of the stuff that I have been talking about. Let's go to Marissa from D.C. Hey, Marissa, thanks for calling.
Gentlemen, how you feeling?
Great.
Wonderful, thank you.
Hello.
So I work for a federal law enforcement agency here in D.C., and I married into a police family. So I kind of doubly love the show, and I feel like watching the departments that you show kind of helps me stay sharp in a weird way. But what I'd like to know, I know I've seen sometimes, you know, Texas and some of the other departments will interface with CBP a little bit just by the nature of where they are geographically. But I'd love to know your honest opinion of any sort of interactions you guys have had with the federal law enforcement agencies, special agents, any of that, because I know that that can get touchy when those cases have to be shared.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they can get touchy, but...
There in Tulsa, you know, with our gang unit, we actually have an ATF agent assigned to us full time. You know, we've got narcotics guys that are assigned with an FBI task force. We've got guys that are part of OSIDEF, which is DEA. So, yes, there's a lot of interaction that goes on between agencies, especially if it's a larger law enforcement agency, you know, with the federal partners in that area.
And sometimes it intersects with us because Deputy Kevin Lawrence in Richland County, he's now with the regional U.S. Marshals Task Force assigned to fugitive hunting and warrant service and so forth. So we had him on the show a couple weeks ago to profile someone that was wanted by their task force. So we do now have some interaction sometimes with federal agencies.
Thank you to Sean Larkin and to Tom Morris Jr.
And thank you, Dan Abrams,
for coming in and for just being awesome dudes.
This has been the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.